When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
From New York City, ESPN Studios at Pier 17, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart Scott, what did we learn last night about the Los Angeles Rams, who we thought was, when we were making our teams, our three teams we could see in the Super Bowl from the NFC? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were that given in that three that we discussed yesterday. After watching last night and now consecutive weeks where it looks like Matthew Stafford was never comfortable in the pocket, a couple of interceptions again for him, almost a third in that game.
Yeah.
Did we learn something about the Rams that maybe they aren't what we thought they were? Or is this just part of a crazy NFL season where you can't predict week to week?
I think it's another crazy week, and, you know, really trying to predict really what teams are going to do within the division, teams that know them well. Like, we thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were world beaters, and then the Saints showed, you know, we still own them. And I think just styles make fights, right? And when you talk about the teams that potentially could bounce the Rams out of the playoffs, it's physical teams. It's physical run outfits because they're weak at the linebacker position. And, I mean, they're weak at the guard position. So teams are just like attacking the interior of their defense. And they got bullied. And, you know, they're supposed to be the bullies, but they're like the finesse bullies, right?
Mm.
They're the guys that's out there, and they may knock you out. They're like Muhammad Ali, right? They hit you, you know, battle of like a thousand punches. Where, like, these guys that really they struggle with are like Joe Frazier. They're in the pocket. They're beating on your body. They're beating you up. And they can't handle that type of toughness. Right, because you can take Aaron Donald away. You can run opposite Aaron Donald. A lot of times he's shooting backside, going around blocks, using his quickness, his athleticism. But at the second level, man, like, I think, you know, losing like good linebackers, good safety play. They put a premium on the outside. They didn't put a premium on the interior of that defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the second week in a row that they just got pushed around. Right, they got pushed around. They got manhandled in between the trenches. And mean. I mean, did any play sum up?
So Ramsey's not enough, though. I mean, because obviously Ramsey's a fantastic player.
Yes, but that's all the luxury pieces, right? Who's your gritty guys? Who's your glue guys? Who's your Charles Oakleys? Who's your Rick Mahorns? Like, who's those guys? Like, because even though Aaron Donald's a tough guy, one of the hardest guys to block in the league, you wouldn't see that he's like some physically dominant guy that like Hayward in Pittsburgh. Like, you don't see – they don't have that tough guy, that physical presence, right? Their physical presence is really on the outside. Their tough guy, their resident tough guy really on the outside is Ramsey. And the play that sums it up about everything that we thought about the Rams – and listen, I still think that they're not going to have to face the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs. The only team that they may face that kind of can do that is Dallas. And Dallas and maybe the Packers, right, with Dillon and Jones, not at Bakhtiari's back, right? Maybe they can run it like that. But, I mean, the play that summed it up was Kittle's, like, I mean, on Von Miller, man. Von Miller, look, remember when Kevin Hart had that comedy special where he was talking about, you know, LeBron, how frustrated he was because Shaq kept falling? Like, oh, God, oh, damn it. Somebody pick Shaq up here. Oh, like, Von Miller got pancaked. Like, Kittle's pancaked him so bad. I'm like, bro, did you not think he was blocking you? Like, he was not ready. Like, and maybe he's not – he got pancaked by, like, yes, the most physical
– yeah, Kittle's not small, but still, it's Von
Miller.
But
he's a big – yeah, you're Von Miller. You don't get pancaked.
Right, you don't – it's things you don't expect to see, and that's one of them.
That's how you know you're getting old. Like, because, like, that – what I'm saying is, like, that never happens to Von Miller, right?
Damn.
That's like seeing, like, Mutombo get dunked on by anybody other
right.
than Jordan.
Yeah,
it's
right.
like, man. Or Alonzo Mourning. Dudes that you see, like, you wouldn't even try – it's like, dudes are trying you now. Like,
Mariano Rivera giving up a game-winning home run where you're like, nobody could hit him. Now all of a sudden, right? Like it's just moments like that where you wonder to yourself, that's when Father Time says, hey, remember me? You know, that's the moments like that, they're tough to see no matter what. But, you know, the Rams go into a bye probably at the perfect time.
Yeah, man.
Got to get stuff right.
You got to practice.
I mean, no Robert Woods. Now you got Odell. You got to get Odell, you know, into the playbook and you
force
know,
it to him a little bit as usual,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
you
expect.
The first pass to him and got it to him, and that was good.
Yeah.
But, you know, the triple coverage, and all of a sudden Matthew Stafford, you know what I mean, is starting to have these lapses in judgment. And some of them aren't their fault. I mean, like, the football gods always balance things out, right? Throws a ball, goes through I think, Higbee hands and rises right up to the defender's hands.
Yep.
But, you know, it's about, you know, me, it's about the physicality. This is supposed to be a tough team, right? We talk about McVay's teams and when they had, you know, Gurley and how they ran the ball downhill
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how they always had the ghost motion, but they bludgeoned you to death. I don't know, man. I don't know. This is a tough one, man.
Now, you picked from the start. You picked Stafford to be MVP.
Yeah.
You picked the Rams being the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You believed in this team. And you're giving me an I don't know
no,
after
no,
10 weeks?
No, no. Can I get it right? See, because the problem, the issue is eventually they're going to have to play the Cardinals. And the Cardinals bludgeoned them with that running game, you know, in their first matchup. That was the first, like blip on the radar. Like, oh, man. Like, they just ran through them like paper. Now, then they had J.J. Watt. But now the Cardinals struggle with the same thing. It's like both teams have the same flaws, so who
Stopping
has the better? Yeah, who has the better offense? Because that's who it's coming down to in that division.
Yeah,
you know they've got a big enough lead where the rest of their games they can get to 10, 11 wins. But
all right, well let's hear from Sean McVay. Let's make the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Sean McVay on what was a game full of mistakes for his team.
Some of them concentration lapses, guys just not making plays that they're accustomed to, but certainly it was very uncharacteristic for a lot of guys, and it wasn't just one guy in particular. It was a handful of different guys, and so everybody had a hand in this tonight, and that's where we got to look at it ourselves, look inwardly first and foremost, and then be able to move forward accordingly, because I choose to believe that these last couple weeks are not who we are. I refuse to believe that, even though, you know what, you're only as good as your last game. These last 2 weeks have certainly been humbling.
If you want to crown them, then crown their
What are we saying about the Rams? I think it's just what we're saying about this whole season, man. Like, hasn't this been – like, last night, you and I were both at the Garden. We're both in Nick game, but we both had the game on. So we're watching, kind of following both. And I remember you texting me because you were in – it's going to sound so bougie. You were in one suite. I was in the other. Shout out to Tao. And we both at the same time, you text me, right? And you just said right away, like, Stafford's just trying to force it to Odell. Like, we both could see, like, things were not, like, the Rams for 2 weeks now have not been right.
Right.
And as I'm watching, I'm saying to myself, like, this is just how this season's going. Every single team you start to believe in, something happens and makes you question your trust in them.
So
the only team that hasn't done it yet, and it started, I did wonder, but they haven't lost, are the Titans.
Hold on.
I don't know if I trust them.
The Titans stumbled against the Jets.
But that was early, but since then.
Yeah, okay.
That's the point. Nice, like, when they stumbled, it was early. I'm like, oh, let's write them off. And then they lose Derrick Henry. Let's write them off. But they just won't stop. They won't stop losing. But I don't know if I can trust them. Like, this is a season where Bruce Arians is calling his team, the defending Super Bowl champs, with Tom Brady's quarterback, a dumb team.
Dumb. That's harsh language.
This is also a season where Bill Belichick is seen on the sideline smiling. When the hell does he ever smile on the sideline? But he is.
Maybe he knows something that we don't know.
Yeah, what does he know?
He knows that, hey, listen, I tell you something, man. Like,
it's a weird season. And then you got Rex and Robert Saleh going at each other, like, and a whole other conversation.
Like,
to
listen,
get to, man.
Saleh needs to keep his attention on the team, man. Like, you can't get distracted by comments from the outside world. Like, why even comment on that, man? It's not helping anybody. You can't win that matchup. You can't win a matchup where somebody has a mic in their face every day.
Nah.
And their job is to talk about that. Like,
nah.
So, listen, he has to settle down, man. Because, I mean, I tell you what, with Miami coming in town, if you lose to Miami, it's gonna get tough.
Yeah, right? No, we'll go deeper into that conversation. But it's just amazing, like, this, all this stuff going on. In the NFL this season. That's why, like, what happened last night, and I ask you again, like, you look at the score, and you're like, wow. Like, you didn't think, you know. And then look at the 49ers. It lost 4 or 5. Like, their season's really going the wrong way. Wondering when Jimmy G's going to step aside, when they're going to hand it off to Trey Lance, all that stuff. Like, you just
Kittle
feel
coming
like
coming back is huge.
Yeah, of course. And then yet they have a performance like this. They go to 4-5. And you go, whoa. Like all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. What are the Niners? So it's one of those things where you look at the score and you first think to yourself, wow. Then you go, well, that's this season. That's this season. Yeah. There's really no team that you just look at and think they are the definite favorite to win the Super Bowl. You are literally risking a bet on any team that you would pick.
Yeah.
Like it is literally like that. It's not like it's just no sure bet at all. Every single decision you make is a risk in this NFL this season.
That's crazy. And I know we got Keyshawn coming up, so yep. I can't talk to Key because my observation in the league, it used to be a point where the middle linebacker and linebacker cores were like the heart and soul of most teams. Now I'm looking across the league and I'm watching these converted safeties play linebacker.
Because of speed. Don't you think it's because of the emergence of skilled tight ends that you need speed?
These skilled tight ends have been around. Like
Who was the linebacker the Jets drafted? He was like super small. A couple of years ago they drafted him. He's a really skinny light.
Darren Lee.
Yes. And he was supposed to be a guy that could keep up with guys like Gronk and stuff.
And got his ass thrown out the club.
Yeah, that did happen.
And out the league, quick. Yeah,
yes.
So, like, I mean, when I was growing up, we had tandems of linebackers that would put in mad work.
Key's here right now, so why don't you bring him into this. Keyshawn Johnson joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, as he does each week. Key, Bart was talking about something he thinks is missing from the NFL today. He wanted to see if you agree with him. Go ahead, Bart.
Yeah, Key, as I look around the league, I see very, very few elite linebackers at the second level. I see safeties being converted to linebackers. Ready to talk about Keanu Neal. I see maybe C.J. Mosley. I see maybe Michael Parsons. I see maybe Fred Warner. But I don't see the linebacker tandems that we used to have. And everybody's trying to convert these linebackers into safeties, safeties into linebackers. But then when they got to put their foot on that trail on that train track, dudes are just getting physically dominated. And I think that's why Bill Belichick is laughing, because he knows that his team is built to play football the old way, and most defenses aren't equipped to handle the old school football.
Well, I think it's just like anything else, right? It's the trend has changed to throwing the ball everywhere, so people felt like they needed to get people that can cover. So they went smaller, more active players instead of big 260-pound slugs at the linebacker spot.
But, I mean, you played with one of the best in the business in Derrick Brooks, and I don't care what era Derrick Brooks played in, he was never going to be a liability at that position. Even Ray Lewis, when he, at 260, he knew concepts and understood. I mean, I think about, Navarre Bowman. I think about Patrick Willis. I think about D'Amico Ryan. I think about Keekly and Thomas. Zach Thomas. And, we had great tight ends back then, too. Whether you want to talk about Tony Gonzalez, Winslow Jr., Antonio Gates. I just feel like they're not developing them anymore. And now the big mismatch is becoming a bigger mismatch, because not only can they not cover the tight ends, right, they can't even stop the run, and guys are running down and just running through guys.
Well, they didn't throw to the tight ends nearly as much as they do now. Everybody got a passing tight end. You mentioned Tony Gonzalez and maybe Antonio Gates was there, but it was only like two or three, maybe Todd Heap here and there, but they were not – the tight end certainly wasn't your leading receiver on your team. So the tight end was seen as a fourth option in the passing game. They'd go first, second guy, the back out of the backfield, then they finally get to the tight end. Well, nowadays, the tight end is a priority. He's the main character in the passing game for a lot of teams. And so because of that, I think – teams have decided to do it differently defensively, and Derrick Brooks certainly could have played in any era, no question about it. But how many damn Derrick Brooks or Ray Lewis is out there that you can find?
Right. The Hall of Famers always could have played in different eras. We're talking with Keyshawn Johnson, and you see a Kyle Pitts, right, a great example of a guy who's a tight end but plays like a wide receiver, and that's the direction this league is going. And with that in mind, it's amazing the timing, Key, that the Rams add Odell, and then a day later in practice, they lose Robert Woods to an ACL in practice. Can Odell's addition in some way make up for the loss, or will the loss of Robert Woods have a greater impact than the addition of Odell?
I think Odell's first game, right? So they had to get out of what they wanted to do with Odell. They couldn't just drop back and throw him in the game plan the way that they probably went into the game plan thinking about it, because they fell behind. So they have the scrap, we're going to throw it to Odell here and there. And he didn't play as many plays as he would next week because he just got there. So the more he's on the field, the more opportunities he's going to get. And the more, you know, now that Robert Woods is not there, Cooper Kupp, people ain't just going to let Cooper Kupp just keep catching the football just because you put him in position to catch the balls. I mean, let's be honest. Cooper Kupp is a good football player, but they are designing stuff to make sure that Cooper Kupp is getting open. He ain't just flat out beating people, and teams ain't going to let you do that.
Key, who's the brand? What's the team that we can really hang our hat on and say, this is a good team? Because from week to week, I just don't know.
I think you could say the Cowboys, the Packers. Now you could probably say the Kansas City Chiefs is creeping back in there. Buffalo Bills. We don't know Arizona because Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins hasn't played lately. But those will probably be the cast of characters. Tennessee Titans. You know, they're 8-2, but I feel like they're going to come back to the party at some point.
Who do you believe in the most? Right now, middle of the season, who do you believe in the most?
Packers, Cowboys, Chiefs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Chiefs, I agree. After watching what they did on Sunday, it kind of made me feel like, okay, that's the team I remember seeing, and that past history is why you give them the benefit of the doubt. Talking with Keyshawn Johnson. All right, you played for the Jets. You understand how New York works. You understand the media stuff, everything. What do you make of Rex Ryan, Robert Saleh, that war of words that now has gone on yesterday?
Well, I think Robert Saleh should pay attention to what Rex Ryan is talking about. You showing your immaturity as a head coach, getting caught up in what somebody is saying that's in the media. You know, when I was a player, I had to try to tell Max Kellerman this morning on my show. He tried to tell me I paid attention to what the media was saying when I played. I was like, you're a damn fool if you think I paid attention to me. I don't pay attention to the social media and the media now. So what make you think in the hell I'm paying attention when I was a player? And that's how Robert Saleh got to pay attention and not get caught up in a war of words with a coach that's working with me. Now, I love Rex Ryan, but Rex Ryan going to say what he's going to say. And if you allow that to bother you as a coach, then you don't need to be coaching. Because you're going to get criticized not only by Rex Ryan, but many other people. Heavily criticized.
Especially in New York. Especially in New York, because it just feels 10 times more magnified.
I don't even understand why he would even engage in back and forth with Coach Ryan. Come on, man.
I love playing this game with you, Keith.
If they'd have said to me, hey, what did you think Rex Ryan said? I would have said, well, I don't even know who Rex Ryan is. I'm concentrating on getting my team better this week. And people always got something to say, just like we always change diapers, and I'd have moved on.
That's exactly. I was expecting something along the lines of that. And also, unlike him, I got a game to coach next week, so I got to focus on that. Like a little.
If I start listening to Rex Ryan, I'll soon be sitting with him.
Exactly. All right, Keith, thanks so much. Good to talk to you, my man.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Keyshawn Johnson on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, I mean, that's probably the best way to put it, right? Like that. We're going to dive into this, though, coming up, because it is something that we do need to discuss. It is something unique. It is also something I've talked about, which is different about coaching, being a head coach in New York, and why when you're an owner, this has to be part of the equation when you're making the hire. Saleh's great at the podium. Fantastic at the podium. But there's also parts of that you have to understand. As much as Bill Belichick can be boring, sometimes boring when you're a head coach, especially in a major market, is the way to go. We will explain that coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because we want you to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up. The fans are hyped. Return to glory at Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Your calls, and also this war of words, why Robert Saleh was wrong to respond. But first, Bart will tell us about Advance Auto Parts. Because we're brought to you by DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. We know you have places to go, so don't let your battery hold you back. Get an auto battery that is trusted from the start. Count on the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard batteries to get you on the road. It's available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores. You never sounded better, Bart.
Never.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Bart and Han.
Welcome back, Bart and Han. Hey, step up your Step up your creativity now during Dell's Black Friday event. With early access savings up to $300 off, including deals on the latest PCs with Intel Core processors, shop laptops, monitors, and more, plus free shipping. Call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL. How do you feel when, like, you've had, you and Hollywood Brown had a little something-something, right, earlier this season. You said something. It's your job. You're a former player. You're in the media now, and you are paid to make comments, make have analysis, critical analysis of what's going on. You said about the Ravens, they don't have a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
Of course, it got back to Hollywood Brown. Somebody made sure that he heard it, and then he had things to say about you.
Right.
It's just a little back and forth. And that's Raven. You're a former Raven. You're a very proud former Raven. He's a current Raven, and you feel like that's kind of in the family, but you've got to do what you've got to do, right?
Exactly.
Well, as yesterday, as you heard on when we had audio files, we played audio files, you heard Rex Ryan take some shots, I guess, or just was very critical of those who were comparing the current Jets head coach, Robert Saleh, to him and the success and really, I guess, his defensive background as a coach and the way he is was at the podium versus how Saleh comes in with the same defensive background and also some charisma at the podium. And Rex didn't want to hear it. And he was on DiPietro and Rothenberg in the morning yesterday and said, don't ever compare me to that guy.
Right.
Didn't want to hear it. Well, Robert Saleh is a weekly guest, the New York Jets head coach, on the Michael Kay show. And, of course, the guys on that show made sure, all right, well, Rex said this, and they had to bring it up to him to see how he'd respond.
Rex Ryan just excoriated you today. He said, why should people compare him to me? He's not me. He's had bad defenses. He's not showing emotion on the field. He really tore into you like I've never heard a former coach tear into a present coach. Your thoughts on what Rex said?
Guys, I honestly, you know what? I've never met Rex. I've never had a conversation with Rex. I don't even know him except for people who know him throughout the league. So obviously, if it's that personal for him, he knows where to find me. So,
were you surprised that he said it?
Oh, I'm not surprised by him. He's always got something to say.
How do you feel about what Saleh said in response there?
I mean, the way that it was set up excellent by Michael Kay to kind of push the buttons to get the type of emotional response that would be needed to try and have a nice little sizzle, right?
Saleh was well aware of the comments, though, because didn't even miss a beat when he responded.
But he escorted you like nobody ever. But what I'm saying is that – if somebody says that, if somebody say, hey, man, you hear what Rex said about you? They maybe say, no, I don't really hear about it. I don't really care. But if somebody say, yo, I've never heard nobody talk about a coach, a former coach like this before, then you're like, hold on, what's up? Right? So, like, and he fell for the cheese, right? Here, I think Saleh has to realize that you can't get emotional. You can't show, even though he still was measured and his voice and his tone didn't change, you can tell that he was agitated with what he said. And, you know, that's just what comes along with being in the media eye. Like, the crazy part is, as a former athlete, you know, myself, we get ripped to shreds about everything we do, right? But coaches and coordinators a lot of times kind of miss that type of personal shots, so to speak. So then when they become head coaches and people know who they are, they're taking shots for the first time. and they don't know how to take them, right? And as a former player, you get criticized every single day. Oh, listen, if we responded to half the stuff that is said about us, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have time to do anything else in our lives. But when you're a linebacker coach, nobody cares what you do. Like, so you kind of you escape all that. Sometimes when you're a coordinator, nobody really cares what you do. When you're the head coach, the wins and losses go on your permanent record, and you face criticism like you've never faced before, and it's something that you have to adjust to, right? Because you can't, especially when you know the person that's saying it, right? Usually we're behind, people hide behind Twitter handles and all that type of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, you're arguing with people and you click on their stuff to respond to them personally and look at who they are.
But that's different. That's
one person.
That's a stranger with no resume. This is a lot different. This is a coach who coached the team you are now coaching yourself. Like, he used to coach this team, and you could tell he feels a certain way about your 2-7 record.
Yeah.
And also the fact that your defense is terrible. Rex's defense is now, he only made the playoffs the first 2 years with you guys, but they were great runs. And then after that,
still was 8-8 the third.
Yeah, no, but didn't make the playoffs after that until then he was let go. But his defenses were never worse than 11th in the league. Every year, his calling card was defense, and every year it was always a good defense. Their problem was, back then, they could never figure out the other side. They couldn't get a quarterback, all that other stuff. But so what he's doing here is he's calling out a coach who has, you know, down the road replaced him, and you could tell there's bitterness. But I think this,
it goes both ways, right?
But
there's bitterness on Rex's side, too, because he's saying, quit comparing this dude to me. He's not me. Look at my resume.
Right.
And you guys want to say he's me minus the bad stuff. So that means somebody said something to Rex minus the bad stuff, or he saw something minus the – and Rex is probably saying, hold on, what the hell you mean, the bad stuff?
Yeah.
Like, so this dude's the better version of me minus the bad stuff.
Yeah, like, I get that.
Like, what the hell does that mean? So don't ever say this dude is me, because he ain't me with the bad stuff or without the bad stuff.
All right. And no one knows Rex better than you. You guys both do a podcast together, Organized Chaos, every week. You talk to him every week. You guys have a close relationship. I get it. But you also know the current coaching staff. You do a lot of work for the Jets.
You're over there all the time.
Right. You're at Florham Park regularly, so it's not like, you know, you are a stranger to any of these people. So I know for you it's probably tough. You're kind of stuck in the middle a little bit here. But I'm just going to say this from a media perspective. I'm somebody that, you know, has covered all the major sports in New York for 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? I was a beat writer. I've done TV. All of it. And I just feel like these are the situations that we catch you in as a coach. You know, and I'm not saying Kay set him up, because it's, what more could you say?
Yeah.
Sala's quick response let me know that Jared, PR guy, prepared.
Of course.
Him.
Of course.
And as a good PR guy does, prepares him. Look, Rex said this just in case they ask you about it. That's what a good PR guy does.
Yeah.
But when you're a coach in a major market, New York, LA, Chicago, places like that, where you know there's more media, Philly, there's more Boston, there's more intense media, and everything's magnified a lot more. Dallas.
Right.
You have to be very selective with your words, because you know that everything you say can and will be used against you.
All
of it. And so while we are getting some fans who are telling us, what did he say that was wrong? He was just defending himself. He was just answering the question. But you gave it life.
Right.
You see, I always tell this to athletes too. You control the narrative. You don't realize it. You do.
Yeah.
Don't breathe life into something because you get a little triggered by it. His response should have been, in my opinion, like I said to Key before, I thought Key was also on the same thing when he said, you know, say, I'm worried about Dolphins. I'm not worried about this guy, because when I start worrying about what Rex says, I'll be sitting next to Rex on NFL Countdown. And it's a fair point. Salah should have just simply said, I've got a game to coach next week. It's the Miami Dolphins. That's my focus. Whatever he's saying, it's relevant to me and our
opinion,
team.
His opinion is his opinion, but it doesn't change the way I'm going to go attack this week and coach this football team and try and get it ready to give the fans what they deserve.
And that flattens this story. It eliminates the story.
It's dead.
It's over.
Dead on
arrival. At 2-7, you got nothing to say.
Right.
Nothing to say. You're 2-7, and your defense sucks. So, in reality, you got to take that arrow.
You got to take it. Yep.
And then later, a year, 2 years, whatever it is, when you are where you know, he said, when he gets this thing flipped, it's going to be freaking awesome. He's got that quote, too, out there, which – but when you do make it freaking awesome, then you can go, where's Rex Ryan?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys remember when Rex Ryan – like, just keep receipts.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody was better at keeping receipts than you. Your famous moment.
Yeah.
With Sal Palantonio, what did you say? You were keeping receipts on Tom Jackson.
Tom Jackson.
Didn't believe in him. Key, thanks for having our back. Like you knew everybody who said you guys weren't going to win.
Yeah, but you can't say nothing during the week.
No,
you can't listen to what they say on Get Up and about how bad you are. You think the Dallas Cowboys last week didn't have to eat that? You know, you think they didn't have to eat that, right? You don't think Tampa is going to have to eat that? Tom Brady's going to have to deal with it.
Matthew Stafford right now during a whole bye week. You think people aren't questioning? How about if you're Sean McVay? Are people not saying, you know what? Maybe it wasn't Goff. Maybe it's McVay.
Yeah.
Maybe he's too one-dimensional. Maybe there's something about it. The teams start to figure him out the later you get into the year. They finished last season 3-3. They were 7-3.
Yeah.
Then they went 3-3 in their last six, and obviously had a quarterback issues. But still, is this going to happen again to the Rams?
Remember,
he's got to eat it too for a whole 2 weeks now until they play again.
Yeah, remember what they say, right? Remember that show, who line is this? Like, yo, that ain't your line, man. That's the winner's line. You can't say that. You can't.
Whose line is it anyway? Exactly. Yeah.
Like me. Like when Chris comes on, I have to eat the fact that he won a Super Bowl title.
And he reminds you all the time.
Right. But does that mean that he was a better player than me? No. Does that mean that he was on better teams than me? No. Right place, right time. He got it. I can't say nothing. I got to eat it.
Right. And I think that's the lesson learned here. And hopefully maybe Salah will learn it at this point. You can. I'm telling you, I say this to all athletes. Are there any professional athletes that are listening to the show right now and you worry, you hate the media because they twist your words? Understand.
Yep.
You control the narrative by what you respond to and how you respond. And it's really what you say. You could say a whole bunch of nothing.
Yep.
And people will be like, he had nothing to say. He's boring. That's good.
Yep.
That's good. You win. If you don't fill my notebook, if you don't give me a story, you won. You control it. That's something to keep in mind when it comes to this.
And he'll learn, right? Because like I said, this is the first time he's personally taken air rolls, right?
Take it.
Because he's never been a head coach. So this is the first time the criticism is personal.
Yeah.
Because if his defense doesn't play well, they're talking. Listen, he's not even a defensive coordinator.
Right.
Albrecht is, right?
Yeah, but come on, you know how that works.
But what I'm saying is,
you know how that works.
He's not the offensive coordinator. But they
if the Niners can't score points, whose fault is it?
Right.
Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
If the Bears offense, the Bears quarterback looks like crap, whose fault is
Nagy.
It? Nagy. Like that's always
But he's going to get that and all the criticism.
Mahomes in the offense looks terrible. Whose fault is it? Is it Bieniemy?
Every day enemy. he shouldn't be a head coach. His offense sucks.
Maybe you're right.
Andy Reid needs to take
it
over.
I brought that win on purpose. 888 say ESPN 888-729-3776. Was Salah right to respond to Rex, or should he have just taken the arrow at that point? Because really, your record is
it
says you are. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. We have an up-and-coming team, but a perennial contender that put a perennial contender on notice last night. Some action in the association. But first, Bart has this from ZipRecruiter.
If you're a business owner, it can be tough to hire top talent for your team, especially when you're competing with other businesses to find the right person. So how can you get the hiring edge? ZipRecruiter. Next key marketing manager, Erin Hargy, loves ZipRecruiter Invite to Apply. She says they can get your job posted in front of the right people. I instantly see great candidates, and I invite them to apply to my job. See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive website, ZipRecruiter.com/BART, to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Back after this.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! Playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Bart and Han.
Back, Bart and Han, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. You are in my shot. You do that a lot, man.
Yo, oh, like you know just, what? You know what? We supposed to tell everybody that we need a different mic with an arm so that we can still sit back.
Yeah,
people aren't hearing as well because we have to lean over. To
literally,
talk.
Like when you see the side shot, see that side shot right there. Look at this. Like it's no, not that one. The other shot. I have the worst posture like that. Look at me. I'm like hunched over, like hunchback. Yeah. Because I'm trying to talk into this. It's really
because
bad
we gotta
visual.
Lean over in our box
because
stops
the mic's here.
Scooting all the way up to the table.
I go back here and yell that. Anyways, Bart, what we saw last night, Monday Night Football, is it concerning? And did the league kind of figure out how to stop the Rams, that high-powered offense, when you consider now that's back-to-back? Did the Titans give us the blueprint? Because remember, they held them to 16 points 2 weeks ago, and you had Matthew Stafford throw two interceptions and get sacked five times.
Yep.
The 49ers... two interceptions, sacked him twice. And Stafford actually almost threw a third one, too, in this. And they only scored 10 points. So 26 points in two games for this high-powered offense. Is there a blueprint that the Titans put out there that the 49ers picked up on and maybe the rest of the league should watch? Because after the bye, they come back and they face the Packers.
Yeah, and they're going to have some self-scouting, right? And it can only get worse because the Packers are rolling. And the Packers got a guy named A.J. Dillon. Now, Aaron Jones may not be back, but you know they're going to try and just bludgeon him up the middle and force you to put that other man in the box. Remember last year, right, when we thought the Rams were great, they went to Lambeau, and the whole Ramsey, Davante Adams, and Davante Adams went for like 180 or 200 on him and scored like three touchdowns. They was running to each other. You know, so that isn't a gimme, and that could be – a premiere or a preview of what the AFC Championship could look about, right? And you talk about records and being able to, you know, this can go a long way as far as who's going to host that game and who's going to be on the road.
Great point.
Right? So, like, this is almost a must-win.
And are the Rams really built to play in cold weather? Like, if you think about having to go to Lambeau in what would it be, late January, right? Like, is that really?
Bro, it was snowing last week. We even got to talk about next January. It's snowing in November.
It's true. It was.
The ground's going to be saturated and frozen by that time. You know, it's like, well, you asked me the question about what the Titans revealed.
Yes.
It revealed that they're weak up the middle as far as interior. Like, you know, Whitworth is an outstanding guy. They're solid to tackle position. Their guards are soft, small, weak. And they got not only like out schemed sometimes with these U games and leaving, you know, bare edges, but also like just getting overpowered, not being able to anchor and sit. And you talk about a guy like Stafford that's sitting in the pocket, and McVay, when he does decide to throw the ball down the field, or, you know, long drops, 7-man drops, you know, those plays have to materialize, right? So like that means you have to hold on to the ball, burp the baby a little bit, and like teams are taking that big explosive play out of their repertoire. Right, so they got to figure out, you know, whether they're doing turn protection or slide
quarterbacks
protection.
Hate pressure up the middle. It's like the worst thing for a quarterback, especially pocket guys. Like, they do not like it. Like, Tom Brady famously hated that pressure at his feet, which is why the Giants, they would employ that the two times they beat him in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's how he got hurt, right? You know, that's how he got hurt with Pollard blitzing up the middle. Because what happens is the running back has to figure out he can't cut. So he has to stay up there. So even if he stays up and the dude's running full speed, he bull rolls him over. They both fall at his knees. If he cuts him, the dude like dives and crashes into his knees. So he has, as soon as he sees interior pressure, he has to get out of there because his feet and his knees are exposed, right? Because you're vulnerable when you step in with that plant foot and you step into it. You know, you're vulnerable, and that's what happened to Carson Palmer.
Yeah, well, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Again, they're in the bye week, the Rams, but when they come out of the bye, it's the Packers. Huge game. Back in 10 seconds. Of all the covers, this was one that didn't need to be done.
Who was that?
You agree? What do you mean, who is that?
No, Michael. I'm saying, who covered MJ? Who covered that?
Is that not Bruno Mars?
Oh, that's right.
That's The Weeknd doing that? That's even worse then.
Yeah, he need to stop and go back.
I thought that was Bruno. I was like thinking Bruno Mars is good at covering things. I think The Weeknd did this?
Yeah.
Let's get back to the weekdays.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
this is not a song to cover, man.
Yeah, disrespectful.
Yeah, I'm not feeling this at all.
Yeah, he don't even sound like MJ. He can't dance.
Like,
you can't even dance.
Well, it's not even that. It's just getting – anyways.
It was Chris Brown or Tito.
I just feel like Bruno would try to hit notes like that. Bart and Han, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got a very busy guest list today. Star-studded, interesting, a lot of fun. The different guests. So we got a lot of that coming up for you, but – Right now, again, we got some calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 about the whole Saleh versus Rex Ryan thing, if you have a thought on that. Meanwhile, last night in the association, we had some interesting games. How about the Lakers going into – I mean, sorry, the Bulls going into Staples, playing the Lakers.
Ooh, for the first time, Lonzo felt confident with the team he was bringing in there, so he played.
You think there was a little – there was something personal there? DeMar,
yeah.
Home, personal for him.
Oh, y'all didn't want me? Oh, y'all didn't want me? What did the five fingers say to the face? Release, rotation, splash.
And you know what else, too? They were trying to get him to 40, and he was like, ah, I was too tired. Like 38's enough. But and you're right, Lonzo, again, they sent me away. They didn't want me. Lonzo comes home, and he had a fantastic game. The Bulls are playing very well. The Lakers are weird.
Are the East stronger than the West? Did we underestimate? We thought they were just competitive with each other, but are they competitive?
The Suns are playing really well. Like in the West, you're getting a couple of teams that are really on a roll. The Suns are one of those teams right now. Luka Doncic limps off the court last night. I mean, the Mavericks do win again. They stopped the Nuggets winning streak.
This dude body built by McDonald's. Not body built by Jake. Body built by McFlurry.
Yeah. You got Warriors and the Nets.
Woo! Ooh, this is going to be crazy.
You got that tonight.
Because now you really have Steph saying, bro.
In Brooklyn.
You got Steph saying, hey, I step back to allow you to shine. But, bro, I can shine just as bright as you right now. Let's go head to head. You want to go? Ooh, what if they start going? What if they take it personal and start going shot for shot?
All right. I'm here for it.
It reminds me like of the, what was that? Was that Michael Jordan, Larry Bird commercial, McDonald's commercial?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, from the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the side logo.
It was more than that.
From mid-court. Yes. Yeah. Well, they can't technically throw it
through
the
window, whole thing. Yeah. But that's that could be a finals preview tonight. So that's an exciting game to see across the bridge.
Stop at what you just said.
What do you mean?
You just said that could be a final, and I think that would be a beautiful final.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't expect it, dude. See, like when we kind of laughed when Vegas had Golden State fourth, best chances of winning a championship. We didn't see all this. These young guys playing well. Like, they don't even need Wiseman. Wiseman don't even get no burn.
Well,
and then at some point, Klay's going
to
come back.
Poole's been really good. Yeah, Klay obviously coming back. Wiggins has found himself a little bit. Draymond's back to being that glue guy. See, Draymond, again, on a good team, Draymond is so important. Yeah. On a bad team, it's like
he's shooting threes.
Like, doesn't fit. Like, yeah. Like, you don't realize how important he is until he – some guys are like that. You got to put him on teams with good players, and you see that's where you get the value. And then Steph Curry. He's just phenomenal. So that'll be a fun game tonight. And oh, by the way, Woj reporting that LeBron James is expected now to return. Remember, he's been out for a while with the Lakers. Expected to return Friday, ESPN game at Boston as the Lakers now come east and they will play some games in the East Coast. So Friday, ESPN at Boston. Guess where they play on Tuesday night?
The Nets.
No, they play at the Garden.
The Knicks.
They play the Knicks at the Garden.
This Friday?
Friday's Boston on ESPN. Then after that is Tuesday.
Ah.
So, yeah, you have that. So today's the day for doing. DeMar DeRozan got it done. So that is brought to you – and DeRozan, again, 38 points. It's brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. How doers get more done. And he was done at 38. Don't need 40. I'm all set. No need for 40. All right, tonight – we could have that NBA Finals preview on our hands. Let's discuss that in depth next with you, Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.